Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody. He loves you.
Friday to everyone. Truly, it's been a good week. It's been a blessed week, and thank God we made it to Friday. And we'd just like to thank everyone who continues to be with us on a regular basis, and thank all of our very fine listeners who continue to call in and support us here. And we give you a big shout out and big hand clap and a pat on the back, and thank you for your continued support with us here at Pastors Aid CDC. I know many folks are finishing up their holiday from Thanksgiving holiday and getting ready to go into the last part of the weekend, getting ready to go back to work on Monday. Many of us had to return this week, but it was all good, and we just pray that everyone has a continued safe and sound and productive and happy holiday season, and that's what it's all about. You can have a safe and happy holiday season, spend some time with your family and friends and your loved ones, and just make it as pleasurable as possible. Also want to thank everyone for their participation in our T-Nuts Bible study last night. There's Nothing New Under the Sun. It's our ninth pilot, and it's going pretty good, and we just had a great time last night with Pastor G and Sheila G, Reverend G and Sheila G, and we look forward to that on Thursday night, starting at 8 o'clock, 8 to 9, and it was a good time. We studied about the birth of Christ, and we looked at a couple of books in the Bible, Luke, second chapter, and also Matthew, the first chapter. And so if you want to hear that and how that goes, you can always go back to our archives, www.blogtalkradio.com, and scroll down to the on-demand section, and scroll down to the T-Nuts broadcast from last night. Also, we just invite you all to continue to go to all of our shows that we had previously broadcast, and you can scroll down to the on-demand a section and listen to the programs in their entirety at your leisure. And as always, we just thank you all for continuing to go back to the archives and listen. It's just amazing how many people are continuing to listen and to continue to support us. And we just thank you and say to God be all of the glory. Tonight, we want to get into a subject that we have covered before, But it's something that we need to keep on the front burner. And with the recognition of AIDS Awareness, World AIDS Awareness Day on tomorrow, December 1st, we thought we would go back and just kind of rehearse and recapture some of the things that we talked about on HIV/AIDS a couple of months ago, and the importance of being aware, the importance of having a knowledge about this virus that turns into AIDS, and still a major disease that kills people all over the world. And so, therefore, it's very important for us to keep it in the forefront. I know many times it's not a comfortable subject to talk about, but anytime you talk about death, anytime you talk about things that are affecting people in their health, it's a tough subject to talk about. But if we don't keep talking about it, keep it fresh in people's minds, what happens is disease will continue to claim lives unnecessarily, because when people are made aware, people begin to start doing things to help disease prevention, then they can begin to start experiencing wellness in their community. And that's what you know, Pastors Aid CDC, we want all of our community to experience wellness, which is the opposite of disease. That's why we're going to be talking about this again this evening. And as always, if you want to be a part of the conversation tonight, you can call in at 347-324-5569. That's 347-324-5569. We'll be glad to take your call. After you dial that number, just press 1. It'll put you into the queue, and we can get your input on what we're going to be talking about tonight. One of the things that just wanted, you know, to look at, and if you go to the AIDS.gov on the internet and just kind of browse on that section, use the United States statistics. And one of the statistics that is alarming is that every 9.5 minutes, someone in the United States is affected with HIV. So if we have an hour and 20 minutes on the air tonight, 10, possibly 11 folks, by the time our broadcast goes off, will be infected with HIV. That's just something to think about. You know, during the course of this broadcast, 10, possibly 11 folks will be affected with HIV. And, you know, that's an alarming thing in itself, of the amount of people that are contracting it is still at an alarming rate. And it seems as if, you know, we have these World AIDS Day, we have these AIDS convention conferences and, you know, HIV conferences, but somewhere in the mainstream media, in the mainstream conversations that people have, that this is not a subject that really comes up as if it's a disease or if it's an epidemic. And that being the reason, the reasoning is part of why the rates are still the way they are. Part of why we're still seeing that one of the other statistics is that 1 in 5 people who are among us are unaware of their infection. 1 in 5, that is alarming. And if you were to go to, we have the Wizards here in the metropolitan area. We won a game the other night. We're 1 in 12. 1 in 5 people in that stadium. I believe that stadium holds like 27,000 folks. And if you know, 1 in 5 of those people, you know, were to be counted off, that means like 4,000 of them would be infected of the 20, you know, or you know, almost 5,000 of them will be infected with the HIV virus. Well, up to 25,000, 27,000 people in that stadium, or say 30,000, 6,000 of the people will be infected with HIV. That's just how serious it is. So you would count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then the person, that fifth person, you have it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the fifth person, you would have it. So a stadium full of 30,000 people, 6,000 of them would have it and not be aware. And that's just the people that aren't aware. That's not including the people that are aware. And so, you know, it's epidemic, and it's something that we really need to keep talking about. And, you know, at the last show, you know, we did a part one and part two, and we said we were going to continue to keep talking about it, continue to, you know, keep it on the front burner. And that's why we're visiting it again today. And, you know, what our goal is to get it to the point where, you know, people are posting it on their Facebook, on their website, you know, saying get tested, you know, get aware of your HIV status, you know. So it's something, you know, like making sure people, you know, every year take the flu shot. You know, people always, you know, get your flu shot here. All the drugstore, Walgreens, CVS, you know, whatever drugstore you patronize, you know, as soon as you walk in the door, get your flu shot here, you know. Get your flu shot here, even in the shopping centers and the grocery stores. Just get your flu shot here. And you know, it's something that people talk about because they know that every year, you know, the flu is so contagious that people have a good time, a good chance of contacting the flu virus, and you know, it'll make you sick and even can cause death. And so every year people are telling people, you know, get your flu shot, get it early, you know, even if it's late in the flu season, make sure you take your flu shot, get inoculated against this year's flu virus. This strain of flu virus is supposed to be, you know, terrible. So, you know, all year long you hear people talking about wash your hands and coughing to your sleeve and make sure you use antiviral, antibacterial soap, and wash your hands for a certain period of time. And there's this whole campaign that everyone is bombarded with come flu season, and people do a good job at it. And it seems as if, you know, this HIV A thing is still so taboo that you don't even hear it. You know, you would think that everywhere, you know, in every store that you know sold condoms would have, you know, some kind of campaign or some kind of advertising to, you know, ask people to, you know, make sure they take the necessary steps to prevent HIV and take the necessary steps to get tested. It seems like you would want to have, you know, testing centers, you know, in more places than they are right now. So it's common as going to the CVS and getting your flu shot, your flu inoculation. But it's taboo. It's taboo. People don't want to have this awareness, it seems, that it's necessary that 1 in 5 folk, you know, are HIV, living with HIV, and they don't know it. And that it's necessary for society that we live in to start screaming loud and saying this stuff is still killing people. This thing is still killing people. This thing is still taking people down. This thing is still hurting our community. It's still affecting the wellness of our people. And you know, in that light, we need to scream as loud as we can, get tested. Get your results, you know, tell somebody, you know, if you're going to be having sex, make sure you wear something that's going to, or use something that's going to protect you. And all of these things are being said, but it just doesn't seem like it's being said loud enough or often enough. So, you know, tell me what your thoughts are. You can call in at 347-324-5569. That's 347-324-5569, and you can be a part of the conversation tonight. We're talking about World AIDS Day. Talking about that's going to be tomorrow, and we're also just talking about HIV and AIDS in general, talking about how it's still prevalent, still wide in spread in certain peoples or certain races. One of the races that really is affected is the African American community, and it's a statistic that's staggering. If you look at this AIDS.gov website, the statistics among young black folks and African Americans, it's epidemic in their community, and you know, it's something they really need to think about, really need to get their heads around. It's devastating to know that, you know, the statistics by ethnicity says that black people represent about 14% of the population, of the U.S. population, and they account for almost half, 46% of people living with HIV in the U.S., and that was in 2008, as well as an estimated 44% of new infections in 2009. HIV infections among blacks overall has roughly been stable since the early 90s, but 44% of the new infections in 2009 were African American, and 46% of the people living with HIV in the U.S. in 2008, that's like four years ago, were black folks. So, you know, we need to talk about that. We really need to say, do we have blinders on, or are we just thinking that it's not going to happen to us? Are we thinking that it's something that, you know, happens to someone else, or just gay or white men? You know, is it a thing where we just think that, you know, we can just continue to go down this road and act like, you know, we don't need to talk about it, we don't need to address it? But, you know, we need to continue to talk about it, and we need to continue to address it, because, you know, it is devastating, and it's epidemic in our community. Can you imagine that? That 46% of a disease in a country is by one ethnic group. So what that tells me is that ethnic group or that race needs to be bombarded with education, with not only education but also with treatment, with understanding prevention, understanding how steps can be taken to bring that number down. Steps can be taken to bring that number down. And, you know, it has to stop being taboo. It's a taboo thing to, you know, in African-American community, it's like they are the most homophobic towards people that are gay or lesbian or bisexual. excuse me. But this HIV thing, AIDS thing, is prominent in their community. And so it's like, in reality, they're not even, you know, facing reality that men having sex with men or MSM, which is who primarily the virus is passed through, is men having sex with men, and you know, when men have sex with men and then there's the bisexual women. That group, especially in the African American community, these college brothers on the down low, if they are you know, acting as if they are gay, you know, in certain relationships, you know, they're actually like they're heterosexual, and in other, you know, relationships they're acting as they're homosexual. And what happens is then they begin to start spreading the virus to heterosexual women who are looking for African American men. Now, realizing this African American male is living a dual life where he's heterosexual with them, but he's bisexual when he's with another man. So, you know, that whole thing that's going on is really affecting the African American community, and many times the African American community, they act like it's not going on, or they feel like it's not going on, but also they become more vocal against it and have such a facade of, you know, this is not tolerable, or we don't do this in our community. But if we don't do this in our community, then why is our community being the most affected by the HIV virus? Something's going on. Something's happening. It's getting spread. and you know, people are getting affected. And why is it that the African-American community is the one that's getting mostly affected, particularly African-American women? They're on the rise now. It's becoming a part of something that's affecting them more and more, young African-American women who are being affected more than any other women in the United States population. So, you know, it's something we need to talk about. It's something we need to keep on the burner. That's why, again, we're talking about this again in our broadcast, because we just want to keep it out there. We just want to keep it in someone's ear, keep it in the forefront, keep it on the front burner, because as long as the epidemic is going along, someone needs to talk about it. Someone needs to, you know, be a clarion voice. Someone needs to be a reality check of what's going on in our communities. And, you know, you look at the statistics on this HIV website, AIDS.gov, and, you know, it's telling us that, you know, of 100,000, a rate per 100,000 of new infections by gender, 103 or 104 were 104% more were African American males, and 39% were of the new infections were African American women. So it's the statistics don't lie. I mean, it's there. It's something that you know, we really need to wrap our heads around. Something we need to continue to talk about as if it's affecting us. Like I said, we talk about the flu virus, we talk about symptoms of flu, we talk about, you know, the allergy seasons that people face, and, you know, all the types of shots and things that people need to do in order to help them get through, you know, different allergy seasons or the flu season. And, you know, we talk about that like we're just talking about our sports team. But, yes, when it comes to HIV, AIDS, we don't talk regularly about it. We don't bring it up, and it's almost like, you know, people get irritated, people get upset, people get mad about you bringing it up. But that's not going to stop, you know, the fact that it's still spreading, that it's still affecting people's lives, it's still affecting families. You know, I don't care if you're gay, you're bi, you're lesbian, you're transsexual, or not transsexual, transgender, or whatever you are. You know, if you're a human, and with this virus, you're going to need to get to a place where you can get on a regimen,
medication so you can live the best life you can. And, you know, if you want to have sex, need to learn how to have sex in a way that puts you at the least risk of getting this virus. You know, that's just real. That's reality. That's just plain, you know, this is what it is. You know, you can have all kinds of beliefs or religious beliefs or religious backgrounds. You can have all kinds of phobias. You can have all kinds of, you know, sexual preferences. You know, I'm just telling you, basically, this is a virus. It doesn't care where you live or who you are. It doesn't care if you're black, you're white, you know, you're green, whatever ethnic background, you're rich, you're poor, if you're gay, if you're lesbian, if you're bi, if you're transgender, if you're heterosexual. It doesn't matter who you are. If you are exposed to this and it allows it to get into your bloodstream, it affects your T cells, you will get the virus. It doesn't say, well, I'm just for the homosexual. I'm just for the bisexual. I'm just for the heterosexual. No, it's going to affect whoever it comes in contact with. And, you know, that's the message that we should be getting out. You know, wherever you come down on you know, who's having sex with who, wherever you come down on that, you know, that's your prerogative, that's your choice, that's your decision, you know. That's what you got to deal with. That's another show, that's another topic, you know. But you know, wherever you come down, if you got blood running in your body, you need blood, you need T cells to survive. And if it's breaking down your cells,
every one of those categories that I just listed. And so it's important that everyone realize that it's not just one of those particular categories or groups that need to be concerned, but everyone needs to be concerned, and particularly the African-American community. We need to be concerned about this, you know, so much so that, like I said, it should be on everybody's web page. It should be so as you have the inkling of thinking you want to date somebody or even kiss them and be able to swap bodily fluids. Amen. That you need to be discussing, you know, this of ours. And, you know, it's something that's serious. It's something that is killing people. And, you know, that's just the way you got to put it out there. It's making people sick and it's killing people. You know, and you know, that's not wellness. You know, that's not wellness. That's illness. That's disease. And that does nothing for the wellness of our community. So, you know, that's what we're talking about tonight. We're trying to get people connected with, you know, some awareness days. Tomorrow is World AIDS Day. And we invite you to go to the AIDS.gov/HIV website and get some information on that. Look at some of those statistics. Look at some of the things that folks are talking about when it comes down to getting an idea of how epidemic this thing is. And, you know, you gotta really look at some of these statistics. One of the statistics that says young black men who are having sex with men were the only risk group in the United States to experience statistically significant increases in new HIV infections from 2006 to 2009, from 4,400 new HIV infections in 2006 to 6,500 infections in 2009, an increase of almost 2,000 from those 3 years. And so you can see how it spreads. You can see how fast it'll affect a community and how devastating it will be for our community if we don't put the brakes on this thing. Somewhere along the line, we got to put the brakes on. So I want you to get involved tonight. Give us a call at 347-324-3323.
5569 is 347-324-5569. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in about 2 minutes.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And He loves you.
Since you know, the Magic Johnson, you know, story that has not been, excuse me, it has not been as on the radar as it should be. You know, I have to, excuse me, still have a little bit of allergy going on from the cold that I had, sinus system. Please bear with me. Thank you for all your prayers. I am getting better and feeling better. So just bear with me from time to time. The sinuses will drain and get down on the vocal cords, and I'll start coughing and fading out. So you all stay with me, and we'll be able to continue on. But since Magic Johnson's contracting the HIV virus and letting the public know, that was a big time in wake-up call in African American community. But it seems like, you know, that kind of wake-up call is needed more and more, and that it is not as waking up as it should be. And it seems as if in the African American community that people are going backwards as far as prevention of spreading HIV among themselves. It seems like we're going backwards. It's like we're almost saying it's not going to happen to me. And, you know, I'm just trying to figure out where that attitude comes from. It's not going to happen to me. It's somebody else's disease, or that was Magic, or that was the person up the street, or that was the person down the street. It's not going to happen to me. Even though the statistics say that it's happening to people all around me, it's not going to happen to me. I still do something. You know, if you love me, you know, why we have to use methods that prevent us from exchanging bodily fluids. You know, this whole denial thing is killing people. It's killing people. It's affecting people. It's wearing the community out, and it just seems like it's so crazy to remain in that type of a denial when you're facing something that's really, you know, devastating. And you know, when you come to that type of conclusion, you really have to say, hey, I'm going to face reality here, and I'm going to, you know, deal with this thing like I know what it can do. And the quicker you come to that decision, what happens is you have to stick to the decision, and you really have to start having a conversation with the people that are around you who could possibly be infected, or you could possibly infect. So at what point do you have this conversation? At what point do you, in your relationship, do you say, hey, we need to talk about, you know, this thing called HIV/AIDS? That's the interesting question. You know, from the sexual standpoint, at what point do you say, hey, I need to talk to you? We need to make sure if we're going to take this relationship any further, we need to both get tested. And that's one of the things that when I did premarital counseling, is we get to a point in our counseling and we begin to start talking about sex. When we talk about sex, we talk about what needs to be talked about prior to the sexual, you know, encounter, the sexual relationship. And one of the things is, and I just put it straight out there, is that disease, HIV virus, can be contracted through sexual intercourse, through bodily fluid exchange. And as the individuals, are they prepared to continue in the relationship. If the person is, number one, positive, HIV positive, AIDS, or number two, not willing to get tested, are they willing to continue in the relationship? And then we go on to ask them to make sure they get, you know, current testing. Some people say, well, I got this, you know, but make sure you get current testing. And that's one of the most serious conversations that you have to have with two individuals that are contemplating getting to the point where they're exchanging bodily fluids, is to make sure that the fluids that you're coming in contact with, the fluids that you're exchanging, diagnosed to what do they have HIV virus. And if you're aware of that, are you willing to stay in a relationship? Are you willing to continue in a relationship? Are you willing to go about trying to use things that are available on the market to prevent the contact of one fluid from one human to the next human? And so when we begin to start talking about those things, a lot of times the gloss or the infatuation gets down to being serious in those relationships where you're saying, hey, if I have even just one encounter with this person and they have the HIV virus, then I can become ill and have to live with this for the rest of my life. And so it's sometimes it's awkward. Most of the time in the conversations that I had, they've gone well, and people were acceptable, and people were knowledgeable, and they understood how important it was, and they were willing to go get testing, and they understood how important it was for them to get tested. And in a lot of cases, they were relieved to find out, they were relieved to know and to just talk about it. And sometimes you need a third person to kind of broach the subject and to help, you know, pull out the necessary questions and pull out the necessary answers, because sometimes it's a tough subject to talk about. But that doesn't negate the fact that we still need to talk about it. Yes, it might be tough, but it will be even tougher if we didn't talk about it. You got into the relationship and one found out that the other one carried the HIV virus, and that the other one might have been infected or was exposed to it and could be affected because of the exchange of bodily fluids. And, you know, you'd be better off going in knowing it. And so I tell people, when you get to the point where you even want to hold hands, and you say, come on, Pastor, see? Don't be too hard on me. No, but when you get to the point where you even want to contemplate holding hands, in other words, you know, that's going to be your boogum snuggum. That's your girl. That's your man. And all of the birds and the bees and the emotions and the hormones begin to rage and to begin to talk about, you know, wanting to be close to someone. Even when you get to that point, that's when you need to hear it the loudest, that, you know, are we going to get tested? Are we going to find out if one of us or both of us are carriers of this HIV virus? And we need to have clarity of what's going on. And then once you have that clarity, then there should be the commitment in the relationship that, you know, you would remain true to that individual. Uh-oh, I'm getting in trouble now. That you would just remain with that one sexual partner, that you wouldn't go outside that sexual partner, because if you do, then the likelihood of contracting or being exposed to the virus becomes greater, and then you could possibly bring that home to your mate. And you know, that's what's devastating, I believe, a lot in the African-American community is that, you know, there's a shortage. The ratio of males to females is about 10 to 1. So the females, they lower their standard, if you will, and hook up with guys who know that, you know, they are in demand. And so instead of being committed or monogamous to this one woman, what they do is they have other friends with benefits. They might have one or two main girlfriends, and then they just have the other ones with benefits. And so they go from this one to this one to this one. And if one of these, this ones, is infected with the HIV virus, now the three or four other girls that you're messing with, Mr. Player, now you have exposed them to the virus. And that's how it begins to affect our community. And so we have to say that everyone needs to keep their standards up. Everyone needs to say, hey, if I'm going to get involved with someone, then I need to remain committed to this person. And I need to, you know, have like, you know, 2-week cycles or 3-week cycles where I'm with this one. I get tired of this one. Well, I'm going to go with this one. Well, he wasn't any good, so I'm going to go with this one. And you know, just having, you know, relationships with people and not thinking of the consequences of what these relationships can bring. So those are the things that we talk about in you know, premarital counseling. We bring out the fact that the person was sexually active prior to meeting you, that you know, all of those sexual encounters that they had could have possibly had someone who had in that line of other encounters with other people, that you are exposed to that. So if a person had 10 sexual partners and those 10 had sexual partners, you know, you can see how quickly, you know, 100 people could have been involved in that, you know, that sexual experience to that person. And so now here's that person with you who had 10 partners, who had 10 partners, with 100 folks that you are being exposed to potentially. And you know, we said earlier that by the time this show goes off, there'll be approximately 10 to 11 people that will be exposed with HIV because every 9.5 minutes some person in the United States is infected with HIV. And so if you were the person who had 10 sexual partners, those 10 had, you know, sexual partners, you know, it's like 100 people that you're exposed to. And so out of those 100 folks, you know, it's like you could easily see how you could be exposed to that. And so, you know, we talk about that in the counseling, and we say, you know, make sure you let the person know, you know, what they're looking at, you know, what to expect or who they're getting involved with or how much baggage they're bringing to the relationship. You say, well, Pastor, see, that, you know, that takes the love out of it, that takes the romance out of it, that puts a hamper on the relationship. But I tell them it's important information that you should know or should want to know if you plan on getting into a serious relationship, because you know it lets you know that you know there could be an incubation period of you know, 10 years or longer that you know you might not you know it might not show up, and if it doesn't show up and you know, even when they have the test, it doesn't show up. Then you're saying, "Wow, this person is in the middle of all these people. Do I really want to get with this person?" And you have to, as much as you might be infatuated in love with them, or whatever it is, you have to say, wow, this person has been around the block, you know, a couple hundred times. Is this something that I want to expose myself to? And, you know, that's what we talk about. That's what we, you know, we have a plain and a serious conversation about this. And, you know, people have to face reality. And sometimes it's tough, and sometimes they don't want to, and sometimes they want to, but they feel forced. And, you know, that's why we talk about it. That's why we lay it on the line and we tell people, you know, this thing is serious. It's real. It's real, just like the flu virus. If you understand the flu virus can live on surfaces for, I forget what it says, you can live on surfaces, but it's more than, I think, 3 hours it can live on a surface. So if someone sneezes and you touch it 3 hours later and then put that, you know, in your eye or your nose or in your mouth, then you can pick up the flu from something that's been on a surface from someone sneezing or coughing for over 3 hours, just living on the surface. And so, you know, people understand that, you know, but we need to understand, you know, that this is what can happen, you know, with HIV. When you're exposed to someone who's been exposed to people who have the HIV virus, you know, it might not be prevalent right now. It might be incubating right now, but later on, you could have symptoms. It's really needs to be talked about. Talk about folks in the African American community. You talk about it. Needs to expand our awareness of it. Make sure we start really thinking about how we get into relationships where we will be exchanging bodily fluids. So if you want to be a part of this conversation, I know you all think fast and see. You're being real tonight. Yes, we're being real tonight because it's a real thing. But if you want to be a part of this conversation, we invite you to call in at 347-324-5569. That's 347-324-5569. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back in about 2 minutes.
Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody. He loves you.
Continue to listen to Pastors A CDC. We are again inviting everyone to go back to the archives and listen to all the broadcasts, previous broadcasts. And you can get there by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/Pastors Aid, then scroll down to the on demand section, and you can go to all of the broadcasts that we've had since April. Also, we invite you to contact us on Twitter, and that is available at PACDC316. That's PACDC316. Also, those using Facebook, you can get us at Pastors Aid. That's PASTORSAID. And we'll be glad to interact with you through that type of media. Also, tonight's show, if you want to listen to it in its entirety after the broadcast goes off, approximately 15, 20 minutes after the broadcast, the show will be available, and you'll be able to go to the on-demand section and listen to this program also. So we just thank everyone for continuing to support us, everyone that continues to let us know that we are making a difference and that we are being a resource that's helping people connect to wellness in their community. And one of the things we're talking about tonight is HIV/AIDS, talking about the World AIDS Day on tomorrow, getting people connected with resources where they can get tested, where they can find resources, where they can get more information on this disease, this epidemic, this virus. One of the places you can also go is with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. You know, that's cdc.gov /HIV has information on what we've been talking about, places where you can go, what kind of treatment, places where you can go get tested, and also AIDS.gov, AIDS.gov /HIV. And you can get information from these websites readily, where testing centers are, type of tests, type of medications that have been developed. Even up to this year, there's a drug called Truvada. I was calling it Truvada on the program, but I believe it's a previous program, but I believe it's Truvada, which brings down the susceptibility of people getting AIDS through bodily fluids. And we were talking about, does that make people more promiscuous when there's a chance for it to reduce the chance of exposure? And so we were talking to people about that. Know where to get the tools that are necessary to help them be successful in avoiding the spread of HIV. It's vitally important that those tools be made available. So that's why we from time to time go back and have shows on these and direct people to the website so that they can go and they can get information and they can learn what's going on, learn the different types of treatments that are available, and begin to start living better lives. And you know, that's one of the things that we were sharing with Celebrity Magic Johnson, that he has taken the meds and he's living a long period of time with the virus and that type of education and that type of medication is now available, and you just need to know where you can get it and know how to learn how to stay on the medication and learn how to deal with, you know, the virus. It's something that everyone needs to talk about, because whether people believe it or not, humans are sexual beings. Humans are sexual beings, and humans will have sex, and they will
have the occasion to come in contact with people who are HIV positive, and you know, it's something that we need to talk about. Something that we just need to stop trying to push under the rug, stop trying to pretend like it's not there, and just need to deal with it head on. Like I said, as a minister, pastor, you know, I could easily just say, well, just don't have sex. If you don't have sex, you know, you won't get it. And you know, that even that's not true, because people get it through intravenous drug use, and people get it through transfusion. So, you know, that even that statement is not true. But it's true that you have a less likelihood of contracting it. But even if you get to the point where you actually are being sexually active, then that increases your chances that much more. But the reality is that people will, at some point in their lives, become sexually active. And so to act like that's not going to happen, you know, even from a minister standpoint, it's just folly. It's folly. The thing is not happening. The thing people are not doing. What humans, you know, have a tendency to do, and that's to be sexual creatures, and have desires to have sex with in their communities, and you have to let them know that this is something that you need to know. And one of the statistics that I want to give to Black African American women. Is in 2009, Black women accounted for 30% of the estimated new HIV infections among all Blacks. Most, talking about 85% Black women with HIV acquired HIV through heterosexual sex. In other words, 85% of the women got HIV through heterosexual. In other words, it was a male and a female. And so the male that they were dealing with had acquired it and passed it on to the female. So the estimated rate of new HIV infections for Black women was more than 15 times as high as the rate for white women, and more than 3 times as that of Latino. I'm just going to do a little pause right there. Is this real, lady? Is this real? Trying to get some African-American women on the line right now in a few minutes. But I just want to read that statistic that says that the estimated rate of new HIV infections for Black women was more than 15 times as high as the rate for white women, and more than 3 times as high as that of Latina women. That's staggering. And the fact that most Black women acquire HIV through heterosexual sex. So 85% of women who contracted through heterosexual sex. In other words, they were dealing with someone, a man, who already had it. It's devastating. Ladies, You need to wake up and drink the coffee and realize that you need to think very long and hard about your decision to get involved with these men. You need to think long and hard, and you need to not only think long and hard, but you need to understand that the odds are stacked against you. That's right, the odds are stacked against you. And when you realize that, I mean, that's a sobering statistic. My Black woman, my Black sisters, with my Nubian queens. When it says that
in 2009. This is 2009. This is, you know, going on 4 years ago. This is. It says accounted for 30% of the estimated new HIV cases. HIV, that's the new one among all blacks, and most 85% of black women with HIV acquired it through heterosexual sex. 85%, and in other words, you know, you need to know who you're dealing with. You need to know who you're dealing with. You need to stop letting your emotions get you carried away to the point where you let your guard down, and you know the music sounded right, and he's looking good and smelling good, and the situation's right, and you know you got the Rick James and the Tina Marie thing going on, fire and desire. I'm telling my age on myself now. but you know, and then, you know, getting to the point even where you're not putting any type of barrier between yourself and someone's bodily fluid. It's at some point, you know, you got to say, hey, I need to start making better decisions. I need to really start, you know, just letting people know that I'm not going to be participating in this. I'm not going to be doing this because it's too risky. At what point do you say it's too risky? At what point do you say it's not worth the outcome? And so I need to, you know, just hold off and wait until I can get involved with someone who I know is tested and is okay to deal with, and who's going to be with me one-on-one and not with all these other people. And that is where we are, ladies. It's you know, how do you know that you're in a relationship where it's just you and that person? And if it's you and that person, how do you know what that person has been with or who you've been with prior to? And you know, that's the tough thing. That's the tough thing. And you know, as much as people don't want to be alone, and less people want to have companionship, I would think that it would be better to be alone with good health than to be with someone and be sick. Now, that's just my opinion. That's just my opinion, and some of you might not disagree. So, well, you've been with the same woman for almost 30 years, so you have no clue about this. And you know, maybe I don't. But it just seems to me that if I was a person that valued health, that I would rather be, you know, alone with good health than with someone who's giving me bad health. That's just my opinion. But you might disagree. So we want you to call in. The number is 347-324-5569. That's 347-324-5569. Get in on this conversation. We're talking about HIV, AIDS. We're talking about some statistics. We just started talking about a devastating statistic among African American women in regards to how they are contracting HIV through heterosexual relationships, and I call them jokers. Some of these jokers that they're dealing with who are going from woman to woman to woman. And telling, you know, these young women, you know, that they love them and that they'll be there for them, and you know, also they can, you know, exchange some bodily fluids, and then once they do that, then you know they've gone on to someone else, and spreading, you know, all types of disease to them, and it's really been devastating. And so we're gonna try to get young lady on the line and get a little bit from the female perspective on this subject. I'll see if we can get one of our ministers on the line. See if they'll be available on a Friday night. A cool Friday night in the nation's capital. I'm sure people are winding down their weeks and trying to get back in the swing of things and get ready for the weekend. So it might be out and about. It might not be able to get people like we thought we can get them.
God bless you. I'm not available to take your call at the moment. If you would leave your name and number.
And I'm not going to be able to get to the site, so see if we can get someone else on the line and see how they are tracking with this subject that we're talking about. See if I can get Sheila G on the line. Let's see how hard they work, but we'll see if I can get her on the line, see if she can contribute to this subject from the female perspective. Something to have it from, you know, the male perspective, but many times we need to get it from the other sex point of view. If we can catch her at home with her family, if she had a long night last night, and be at work. See if she's available tonight to talk to us on the subject from the female point of view. She might be out and about also. I get folks sometime on Friday night.
You have reached
William
Sheila
Gregory.
We're going to try a little bit later. But right now we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back and try to get some more folks. But hold on through us through the break. We'll be back in about 2 minutes.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And he loves you.
Conversation because it is a disease that gives possibly everyone who is sexually active, and people who have had blood transfusions or intravenous drug use. So, you know, wherever you are, wherever you might find yourself in life, there's a possibility that you can come in contact with the disease. Earlier we were talking about the occurrence of every 9.5 minutes someone is contracting HIV virus in the United States, and also that 1 in 5 people are living with AIDS and don't even know it. And so we're talking about how serious it is to have a conversation. And before we took the break, we were trying to get a perspective from the female perspective on what it is to realize 85% of black women are contracting HIV, tendency to catch it through, contract it through heterosexual relationships.
Something we don't like to talk about, or is it because
We think it's a gay virus or disease, or it's a African American disease. What is the stigma? Why we don't put it out there and say, hey, you know, United States population is trying to take care of so many populations around the world, you know, deal with epidemics around the world and in other continents. Why are we dealing with the epidemic in our own on our own continent in our own nation? Why are we dealing with it as aggressively as we go aggressive to deal with things in other countries? Not to say that dealing with, you know, things in other countries and other continents is wrong, but I just want to know why haven't we been that aggressive? You know, we have our conferences, we have our days, we have our moments, but why hasn't it risen to the medical standpoint of, say, like a cancer? You know, I don't know if you put it on that same footing, but I would have to look at the statistics to see how many people are actually dying of cancer and actually how many people are being infected with HIV. What's the rate every year, how many people are diagnosed with cancer, how many people are diagnosed with HIV, how many people die from cancer, how many people die from HIV/AIDS, and see what the statistics are. I might be off base that, you know, cancer is more prevalent, more people contract it every day, more people die from that on a daily basis than people contract HIV. And die from AIDS on a regular basis. So, you know, I'd have to do some more homework, some research. But I think that's the type of level that this needs to be on. That's the type of level of, you know, you have the marches and the races, and you have the donations. And, you know, I think because of the epidemic proportions, that we should have more of those types of things, more funds, more research, more developing studies of finding a vaccination or finding a cure, just like the effort that's going forward trying to find a cure for cancer. I know there's a lot of things out there that need cure, but I think that this type of epidemic of every 9.5 minutes someone contracting it puts it should put it at the top of the list. You would think it would put it close to the top of the list of research scholars, scientists, and people being in and trying to find the cure, trying to find an antivirus, trying to find some way to halt the spread. You know, it takes a lot of people making a lot of their voices heard to get these type of things rolling. And, you know, that's what I encourage everyone to do, is to make sure you're out there, make sure you're making your voice heard, making sure that you are definitely. Getting involved. Talk to your family. Talk to your neighborhood. Talk to your coworkers. You can go to the CDC.gov website, and it has on the website where you can enter in your zip code, and you can find a testing site. And you know, those are the type of things that we should be linking our websites too, and putting it at the bottom of our email, you know, find the HIV test, right? and put it on there so people can enter in their zip code, their city and zip code, and they can go and they can find it. You know, that type of thing is a grassroots thing where you can, you know, make a difference. That, you know, put it on your Facebook, you know, that link on your Facebook, put it on your Twitter, you know, put it on your email, so that folks will be aware.
And that's what it's going to take. It's going to take, you know, everyone being aware, because, you know, similar to how people are aware of someone, you know, everyone knows someone that's been affected by cancer or has died from cancer. You know, it's getting to the point where everyone knows, whether we want to admit it or not, knows someone who is HIV positive, who has died of AIDS. We, you know, more and more people are starting to come with that type of comparison to, you know, people with cancer, to people that have HIV, people who have died of AIDS. You know, we really got to get it to the point where we're not afraid to talk about. I mean, people are not afraid to talk about cancer and how devastating it is. And if anyone's ever seen or experienced someone, a loved one, die of cancer, it's a devastating thing to see and to watch. And you know, we don't see that as much, you know, people who die from AIDS, the devastation that goes on in their body. And so, you know, that's why it needs to be put on that front burner, because so many people who have contracted it have that potential for it to, you know, go into full-blown AIDS. And, you know, it's just devastating that it can continue to happen. Whereas with cancer, you know, health, diet, exercise, proper rest, medications, you know, understanding family history, all those things can come into play to help cancer prevention. And, you know, people go aggressively with those, and, you know, they have oncologists and people they go through, and all these things that are available. And we're just trying to make a push and make people aware that type of effort needs to go with HIV, AIDS, and get people, you know, involved in you know, just making that type of awareness available where people can say, hey, you know, we can talk about this just like we talk about cancer. We can, you know, visit, you know, websites and educational things just like people do with cancer, so that we can help in prevention. A lot of times with cancer, you can get a cure, you can go on remission. So that's what we want to be looking for with, you know, this virus, this HIV, AIDS virus. We're looking for cures, looking for medications, and medications have come a long way to not affect the cells, slow that process down, and allow people to live well, and give people hope. You know, that's what really needs to happen. Not to say that, you know, it's in competition with cancer or any other type of illness or disease or virus, but it can run, you know, parallel to the importance, because again it affects so many people in our country, and we just have to keep battling. We just have to keep fighting. We have to keep, you know, pursuing, keep studying, keep testing, keep making sure that we are doing everything possible to help bring this virus to an end, where we can say we have a vaccine that we can use to correct, you know, what this virus is doing to people's physical bodies. Just the same thing with cancer. You know, finding a cure that will help prevent the devastation of deadly cancer disease. So, you know, we're just trying to put the word out there, trying to get, you know, the community involved, to be able to talk about it, to be able to say it's not taboo to talk about it, to face reality, to stop walking in fantasy land like it's not going to happen to me, to stop being so promiscuous and having so many relationships with so many partners, to just back it down a little bit, you know, understanding the consequences of that bodily fluid exchange. So that's our conversation tonight. We're going to come back and wrap up our last half hour. So we want to hold on to the break. The number to call in is at 347-324-5569. 347-324-5569. Break, and we'll be right back.
Yeah. Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody. And he loves you.
African Americans face a number of challenges that contribute to the higher
rates of HIV, the greater number of people living with HIV in African-American communities, and the fact that African-Americans tend to have sex with partners of the same race, ethnicity, means that they face a greater risk of HIV with each new sexual encounter. In other words, you just tend to you know, have sex within your community, the black community. You know, every time you have sex, you have this chance of getting African-American communities continue to experience higher rates because of other sexually transmitted infections compared with other racial ethnic communities in the United States. The presence of certain STIs can significantly increase the chance of contracting HIV. Additionally, a person who has both HIV and certain STIs, sexual transmitted infections, has a greater chance of infecting others with HIV. So all the other sexual transmitted infections become like a gateway. The other statistic is that the socioeconomic issues associated with poverty, including limiting access to high-quality health care, housing, HIV prevention education, directly and indirectly increase the risk of HIV infection and affect health of people living with the risk of HIV infection. And it goes on to talk about the stigma for discrimination, homophobe, and negative perception of HIV testing, and also place too many African Americans at higher risk. Many at risk for infection fear stigma more than infection. That's right. Fear stigma more than infection, and may choose instead to hide their high risk behavior rather than seek counseling and testing because of the stigma that, you know, I'm a homophobe. That's not me. That ever happened to me, but it's killing me. but I'd rather have I'll be afraid of the stigma of what somebody will say than the infection. And it's tough. It's tough. And you know, you really have to say, wow, I gotta do something about this. I need to tell somebody about this, and I need to, you know, tell somebody often that we need to not be more afraid of the stigma than the infection. You know, those are the statistics. And like I said, you can go and you can get these statistics for yourself at Centers for Disease Control or www.cdc.gov/HIV and/topics. Look at these things. African American women, the third leading cause of death is HIV. Black men, age 35 to 44, in your prime, that's when they're doing all of this sexual activity. 35 to 40. Third leading cause. I don't know what the first and the second ones are, but third leading cause in this country for women in general is HIV, complications from HIV AIDS, and men 35 to 44. So what does that say? That says that this conversation that we're having, we need to have it more often in our community. There need to be more people talking about it, more people calling in, more people getting educated, more people tuning in, because it's critical. And so, you know, then you ask the thing, is it a thing of race? And you know, if it's prominently in that group of people, then it must be a racial thing, it must be a black folk thing. And you know, they just can't control themselves, and you know, they don't want to be educated. So, you know, we just need to leave them, you know, to their own vices, and you know, we you know, if it destroys them, it destroys them, and you know, that's the prevailing attitude. So, you know, if someone has that prevailing attitude toward you, you know, who do you have to blame but yourself? You know, are we educating our people? Are we trying to do better? You know, everyone has a role to play. The people that are educating, the people that are being educated, and actually applying the knowledge that we gained through education has a role. So in that group of African Americans, we all play a role And are we going to be wiped out? I have a sex. Are we going to be wiped out because we're afraid of stigma more than infection? Are we going to be wiped out because we will remain in denial that this is the third leading cause of the most vibrant part of our male community, 35 to 44, and all black women, third leading cause of death? You know, every time you look at this, you shake your head and you say, well, you know, what are we doing about this? You know, hello, you know, are we tracking with this? Is this sinking in? Is this getting through? Is anybody home? You know, did we wake up and smell, drink the coffee? Third leading cause. Somebody call me, 347-324-5569, 347-324-5569. This is the third leading cause of white folks. Do you think they would do something? Caucasian people, Asian people. You think they think we would do something about it? You know, it's like, you know, at some point you got to take responsibility for yourself and stop blaming it on everybody else, you know. What is the deal? If we just can't, you know. And, you know, one of the statistics that we saw in one of these CDC information brochures just says black folks have the tendency to have sex. In other words, we're out of control. We can't handle it. We got to do it all the time. Don't matter who we're doing it with, how we doing it. Not using anything to protect me from any type of fluid. That's just who I am, and it's not going to happen. You know, at what point can you expect someone to say, hey, you know, if you want help, help is here, but if you don't want to help yourself, you know, I'm not going to go out my way to help you. When are we going to go out our way to help ourselves? Ladies, when are you going to stop lowering your standard down for Mr. Cool, Mr. Loverboy? You know, when are we going to start lowering our standard? When are we going to stop saying, you know, that you know, 15 times as high as the other women in my, you know, Latino, white women and Latino women, 3 times as high as Latino women are contracting it, but I'm getting it and I'm contracting it, you know, like, you know, the highest percentage in the whole country. At what point do you say, hey, we just need to stop. We just need to stop. At what point does that set in? At what point does that set in? But we remain blind, we remain ignorant to it, you know, of the situation, you know. We know when the big lottery is going to be, where we're going to, you know, hit the big lottery or going to the casino or, you know, buying the lady's boots or the purse or whatever. You know, we up on all those things, the styles and the hair and, you know, the nails and all that stuff and the suits and the cars and all that stuff. But when are we going to get up on stuff that's going to save our lives, save the lives of our children? When is that going to be something that we specialize? When is that going to happen? You know, when are we going to start realizing that, you know, it's not only just a gay white man, it's no longer a lesbian, no longer a transgender, it's no longer a bisexual. It's virus everyone, everywhere around the globe. And when are we going to become serious about what's going on? Just asking the question. Because it just doesn't seem like we're getting it. It doesn't seem, you know, are we getting it? Does it seem like it? Does it seem like it's sinking in? Oh, Magic's doing all right. We you know, Magic Johnson doing all right. You know, we ain't worried about that no more. We just, you know, get on a you know, medicine regime, you know, make sure my prescription's up to date, you know, take some Truvada, and you know, we good to go. We good to go. When is the behavior going to become the thing that I need to correct? When is that going to become the thing that I need to do? Check the behavior, and then I won't have to struggle with the drugs and the routine, and you know, having all the partners, you know, worried and concerned that I might have some. When are we gonna get to the root cause of the behavior that's continuing to spread this thing? I know the cause, they say it happened in West Africa where it was a group of people that ate, hunters that ate chimpanzees and contracted through chimpanzees in Africa through that eating of that meat getting to the bloodstream, but the humans pass it on through majority through bodily fluid. During sexual activity. Yeah, transfusions, intravenous drug users. Sure, there's some other ways where it can be, you know, transferred or transmitted. But, you know, a primary way is through bodily fluids. And when are we going to get to the point where we say we just have to know when, where, and how to exchange bodily fluid? I mean, I can't be any more plainer than that. Yeah. You know, a lot of times bodily fluids are exchanged through sexual activity. And, you know, we are sexual beings. But at what point do we say, hey, you know, I'm a sexual being, you know, but I need to make sure that, you know, if I'm having sex, there's the occurrence of bodily fluids, then I take every precaution or everything that I know to prevent, you know, this transmission. Why isn't that happening? If you're going to be out there exchanging bodily fluids, why aren't you being educated? Why aren't you applying the education to prevent it from coming in contact with you? Why? It just seems like it would come natural, and that's what we're trying to do, to say this comes natural. There's a chance out there, yes, I love this guy, I love this woman, you know, whatever, and I want to be with them, but I know that there's a chance, and so if there's a chance, I need to protect myself, protect them, do everything I can to make sure that we don't exchange bodily fluids. Because in my community, the chance of me having it or you having it is off the chart. And it's the third killer, black women and black men aged 35 to 40. So it's just something I have to do. It's like taking a flu shot. You know, every time I get exchange bodily fluids, I need to make sure I'm using some type of barrier. Period. Every time. All the time. For the rest of my life. Because the disease or the infection is gone rampant in my community in which I came by them. So just that plain, just that simple, just that message we need to get out. Like I said, I'm a minister, I'm a pastor, you know, I'm being for real. You know, we need to start talking about this stuff in ministry. You know, so I know some people do, but, you know, there's still this thing of, you know, oh, they're going to wait till they have sex with marriage, and, you know, they're going to be heterosexual, and they're not going to be homosexual or gay or bi or transgender. You know, that's not the world we live in. That's not the world we live in. They're going to be people who we come in contact with, whether we agree with how they're exchanging body and when they exchange their body fluids. They are going to be doing it. They're doing it now. That's why it's like that. But we need to talk to all of them to make sure they take care of themselves. Got about 10 minutes. 347-324-5569. Again, we invite you on Friday the 7 to 9 and Sunday 7 to 9 to tune in. Pastor's ACDC, we're talking with people and subjects that we believe will give benefit and wellness to our communities. So if you want to talk to us, send us a tweet of a subject you might want us to talk about, you can tweet us at PACDC316, or you can leave it on Facebook, Pastors A, PASTORSAID, and we'll be glad to say if it's a topic that we can talk about to possibly help bring wellness to our communities. We'll be glad to do it. And, you know, it's something just to see down through these months that we've been talking and dealing with people, all the different subjects and the people that we talk to and come in contact with, to know that, you know, people are real. People are going through real issues and subjects, and, you know, some of the controversy, some we might agree with and some we might not agree with you. But, you know, having a conversation is worth it. We thank everyone for listening and your participation in this ministry that we have here at Pastors ACDC. So, again, if you want to get to any of our shows, you want to go through our archives, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Pastors Aid, and you can scroll down to the on-demand section and listen to any of our previous broadcasts. We've been broadcasting in April. Also, if you want to listen to this program in its entirety, you wait about 15, 20 minutes after we're off the air, approximately 9 o'clock, and you can scroll down and you can listen to it in its entirety. Tell someone about Pastor ACDC. Tell them that we're just on the radio talking about various subjects, trying to be wellness, bring wellness to our communities, discussing and challenging people to do things about their situation and circumstances in their community, just being a voice on the web, radio, talking to people, trying to make a difference. And we appreciate you. We value your input and your continued support. So, again, if you want to, last few minutes of the broadcast, you want to call in, make a comment, you can call in 347-324-5569. That's 347-324-5569. We're going to take about a 2-minute break, and we'll be right back.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? He loves you.
Somebody like you, yeah.